You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
We are back. Finally, the Urban Sports Scene has returned to like Urban Sports Scene Radio, because now it's what it's called, basically. It's called Urban Sports Scene Radio. I am Wally, and I'm here with my homeboy, Will T. Ray Jeezy's out, and we all form the Urban Sports Scene. What's up, Will T?
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
It's good, man. It's a good day, man. It's beautiful. We got Olympics and whatnot. It's a great day. I mean, a great time in sports. You know, and football's around the corner. You know what I mean?
I would say it's a great time of sports.
Well, football's around the corner.
It's a decent time.
Well, it has to be, because it's right here. Like, even though they canceled, like, the first actual football game.
To be totally honest with you, I'm not as much in love with the NFL as I used to be.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still going to watch the games. Yeah. You know, I'll tune in every Sunday, like, just about – well, not every Sunday. You know, if it's a nice day out, I'll go ride my bike. But, you know, for the most part, I'm going to tune in, you know, watch the – important games.
Important games?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the games that I deem that
important. What you deem important?
Week 4, Washington versus Cleveland.
Obviously, that's a big game.
I'll tune in to you guys versus the Cowboys.
You guys versus the Cowboys. Look, the Redskins versus the Cowboys, or you would say the Washington football team versus the Cowboys.
You know, I'll watch some Eagles games. You know, my passion for the Eagles is kind of
it's coming back.
It's not coming back.
Okay, because you know all the players in that, you know, that did that. Well, the players, when I mean,
yeah,
the players,
that guy.
Yeah, when I mean
he's gone. No, yeah, I get it. Yeah. But you know, it's just I'm not as much as loving the NFL as I used to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, Will, you know, let's get to
our tradition, the pregame.
All right. So here are the topics we have on tap. First, we'll discuss the Washington Redskins unofficial depth chart. And also their first preseason game against the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to talk about the Olympics. The Baltimore Orioles and Washington Nationals, we'll discuss that. We'll discuss those two teams. And we'll discuss A-Rod retiring and Ichiro being a part of the 3,000 Hits Club. And finally, we'll talk about Russell Westbrook re-signing with the Oklahoma City Thunder, which I thought was surprising. Very surprising anyway.
We'll talk about it later. Yeah, I don't think it's that surprising.
Well, he showed some loyalty, right?
Yeah, he showed loyalty.
Okay, anyway, let's get into the first topic. The Washington Redskins unofficial depth chart came out about a couple days ago. First off, I was surprised a little bit I was surprised that Trent Murphy was moved from defensive end to outside linebacker.
You took mine. That's what I was going
to
say.
We can discuss it. Like, why are you surprised?
Yeah, well, I was surprised just because, you know, I think, well, not surprise. Surprise one, and I think it's half and half. It's half surprise and half telling of where he lies in the potential future in Washington.
So, what do you think he's at though in terms of his future?
Cut. I think there's a high probability that he'll be cut.
You think this season? I mean, during this this season.
I honestly do, because you know, you tell a guy to bulk up, add 20 more pounds, he's going to play D end, and then on pass rush situations, he'll move inside to tackle to push the pocket back. Then he does what you ask. He gains the 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. Then you put him back at outside linebacker.
Yeah.
And we all know that Trent Williams isn't
Trent Murphy.
Trent Murphy isn't the lightest of foot.
Mm-hmm.
With an additional 20 pounds on him, how's that going to affect his ability to drop back in coverage? Or are you just going to put him in on specifically pass rusher situations to get to the quarterback when we know he isn't a great pass rusher? We know that you have a guy that potentially is a better pass rusher on that roster, Preston Smith.
Yeah, who's going to start outside linebacker?
Who's going to start an outside linebacker? So to me, it's one of those moves that make you kind of scratch your head and wonder, is he really in the long-term plans of this team?
Yeah. I'm with you with that, Trent Murphy. I think he will get – I'm on the side with you in terms of – the thought process that he could get cut. He could get cut eventually. I think it'd be more next season than this season. Because I thought that moving him to defensive end was a great move. Playing him defensive end, you have more pass rushers on the line. Like almost like the Giants did years ago, where they just didn't care. They just put all the pass rushers at the line. So you have your outside linebackers who are your pass rushers. You move Trent Murphy into 3-4 to a defensive end. And then now you see something, you know, to a point. You see the impact. You see somewhere where you can just force the pass rush, force hurries or whatnot from, you know, for the prior off for the offenses that he go against. So for me, I thought Trent Murphy being as playing defensive end put a brought out a lot of possibilities in terms of what the Redskins can do defensively. Now on the flip side, moving him to the outside linebacker, we've seen him struggle already. We've seen that already. I don't think that's a good fit for him to be successful in the NFL.
Yeah, he doesn't have a burst off of the line, which you need as an outside linebacker.
That quick burst.
Just doesn't have it. But he does have superior strength. Yeah. And I thought that if you put him at defensive end, D tackle, then you would take advantage of one of his strongest attributes, which is his strength and ability to potentially push the pocket. So to me, it's kind of makes you question where does he lie in the long-term future of Washington's football team.
Yeah, I agree. Next person. What about, let's say, Duke Iheanacho
who?
Duke Iheanacho.
The guy who's really? Never suited up?
Hey, he was starting at strong safety last year until he got, until he got hurt.
Okay.
So I'm just saying.
Last year is last year.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but he's not starting. You got the kid. David Brunton. David Brunton Jr., starting at strong safety right now. He's an 8-year pro out of Notre Dame.
He's an 8-year pro out of Notre Dame who no one has heard of. Well, he was on the roster last year, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I could have been. I don't remember seeing him on the roster.
But hey, you're a diehard fan. So
I'm a diehard fan. That's 53. He's David Brunton. He didn't Bruton. Excuse me, David Bruton. I can't even say his name correctly. David Bruton.
You're supposed to be a diehard fan.
I am a
ATTR.
I grew up a diehard Redskin fan, but you can't pay attention to all. Look, can you pay attention to
your fandom, bro?
Can you pay attention to all 53 players on the roster?
No, you can't. But you're supposed to know the important ones. You're supposed to know the starters and the backups.
Look, I know Greg Tulliver. He's a local product. Went to Northwestern High School, and he's having a great camp. I don't need to know about David Brunton or Bruton.
You do, because he's number one on the depth.
You know what?
I should
know about him. David Bruton Jr. has wowed people, obviously, because he's the starting strong safety at the moment for the Washington Redskins.
Yeah,
I should know.
That's a little better.
But he's obvious. But Duke Iheanacho should be starting.
Who?
Duke Iheanacho.
Who?
Duke Iheanacho.
The guy who hasn't played one game.
I feel like we're saying it like it's Mike Jones. Who?
No, I mean, you keep bringing up his name, but, I think the average Washington fan doesn't even know who he is. I mean, they heard his name, but they haven't seen his production on the field because he's been injured, the last 2 years? You got to take him, hopefully he stays, hopefully he's healthy and he's able to contribute this year. But, I would get my hopes up.
I just think that I feel bad for the kid. Jarrett.
Kyshawn
Jarrett, because I feel like this would have been his position. This would have been his slot.
Yeah, I mean, he was coming on of what I saw of him last year. He was starting to come on towards the end of the year. Everything was starting to look like it was clicking.
Yeah.
So if he's able to get the nerve, the feelings back in his arm.
He got cut, though. So.
Yeah, he got cut, but,
You never know.
You never know.
It doesn't sound good, though.
No, it didn't. It didn't sound good.
Yeah, it didn't sound good. Another position that I thought was kind of, I don't think it was interesting to me was Rashad Ross being labeled the backup to Pierre Garçon. So he was second string, which I think was cool for him. But just looking at the receiver roster, you see Ryan Grant, the backup to Jamison Crowder at the third wide receiver.
Ryan Grant is the slot. Best route runner.
Are you saying that
I'm not being facetious. If you listen to people who are experts and really follow the team, they say that he's the best route runner on the team.
Yeah, the amazing thing about it,
what's that?
Something called game day. And when you play, all you see is, that critical game against the Atlanta Falcons last year when he slipped and Kirk Cousins threw that pick six, or you see the you've seen him drop number of passes during the regular season last year.
I said route runner, not pass catcher.
But isn't all that?
They both go hand in hand.
Exactly.
No pun intended. But no, let me ask you a question.
Go ask me.
How comfortable do you feel with the nose tackle position?
I'm not very happy with it at all. Right now you have Kendrick Golston playing nose, and I'm not a fan of it, to be honest with you. Kendrick Golston is a good person. I think for me, start
person. What, are you dating him?
It's a good person, man.
That's what someone says about a person.
Look,
when they aren't the most
real
attractive.
Talk,
and,
real talk.
You know,
that's why I said he's a good person. He's not the most attractive football player in terms of skill at the nose tackle position. He's a good person, man.
So you still you feel now that that's a vulnerable position heading as they begin to wrap up training camp.
Well, let's look at it this way, right? We watched the game. Well, at the game last year in the postseason when they played the Green Bay Packers, Eddie Lacy did whatever he wanted in that game, right? A number of times in the regular season, the Washington Redskins couldn't stop running backs like Ivory. Chris Ivory for the New York Jets at the time. Then you had the Atlanta Falcons couldn't stop Freeman. There was a number of running backs.
Devontae Freeman.
There's a number of running backs down from last year the Redskins just couldn't stop. Go ahead, sorry.
To be honest with you, I think if you were to assess the units on this team, you know, like offensive line, running backs, wide receiver, D-line, linebackers, defensive backs, I think that's probably the weakest unit on the team. No, just D-line.
D-line, yeah.
You have no one who really
– I do like Chris Baker. I think Chris Baker's
a good
job.
You have Chris Baker, right?
Yeah, about seven sacks last year.
Okay. I mean, that's fair, but who – if you're an opponent, who do you kind of stay up at? If you're an offensive coordinator of an opponent, who puts fear into your heart? Who do you say, we got a really game plan against this guy?
Are we counting?
I'm just talking your D-line.
We're not talking like, because you know, in the 3-4, the outside linebackers are basically like.
Yeah, I'm talking D-line.
D-line. If anybody would be, it would be Baker. But I guess you weren't going to game plan because he's still relatively fresh, right?
Yeah.
Nobody. Stephen Paella
hasn't shown
to be to be that type of dude.
Ricky John Francois has shown that while he's consistent, he isn't.
But for a while, he's been a role player.
Yeah, he's primarily a guy that's in your rotation.
Yeah.
He's no one that you really fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think that this is the biggest concern for this team coming out of training camp and as you go on to the regular season.
No, I agree. It's just that. For me, looking at the defensive line, because I feel like when you're running a 3-4 defense, I'm always looking at a nose tackle, right? That's the first thing. I feel like the nose tackle is the big thing in a 3-4. That's just my opinion. I feel like if you get a push, regardless, you know, of stopping the run, because he's so versatile. He can stop the run. He can give you a push up the middle for your defense, for your outside linebackers. They rush, you know, if they rush wide, they can get to the quarterback because he's collapsed in the pocket.
So you think you take a stud nose tackle over a stud pass rusher?
Yes, I would. I think they can do so much more.
That's interesting.
I think you can do so. I think you can make average, because I feel like a stud nose tackle can make average outside linebackers. So this is my thing. If you give me a nose tackle, a dominant nose tackle, right? Like a Vince Wilfork, right? You give me a Vince Wilfork in his prime.
Yeah, I was about to say
In his prime, right? In his prime. And then you add in speed from the outside, right? Just a guy based on speed, right? Vince Wilfork makes it so much easier for that guy to get sacks. Because one, when you got that speed coming from the outside, you're going to push, you're going to make the quarterback step up, a la Vince Wilfork's there to get the sack, right? Or if anything, the quarterback's going to go wide because he's going to go high, he's going to go probably deeper in his drop because he's scared of a Vince Wilfork. Boom, they can meet at the quarterback.
All right, so what about the counter to that argument? The Denver Broncos defense last year, 2015, they had two elite pass rushers.
No, I'm with that.
Marcus Ware and what's my guy? Jesus Christ.
Vaughn Miller.
Vaughn Miller, DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
those two are elite pass rushers. They had a serviceable nose tackle, but you didn't have a guy who was
an elite. He wasn't elite. I'm not arguing that you know, if you don't have, before I put it this way, I'm saying if you don't have two elite outside linebackers, I'm just saying because to me, DeMarcus Ware and Vaughn Miller are dominant pass rushers. They're ideal pass rushers, right?
Right.
They're great pass rushers. I'm just saying, like, I would rather have a nose tackle because I feel like he can do so much. Like, he can stop the run. You know what I mean? He can help your pass rush. There's so much he can do.
All right, well, let me put a bow on this whole defensive tackle, D-line, pass rusher conversation. If Travis Pot Roast Knighton had to did what he was supposed to do, we wouldn't be having this problem right now. We wouldn't be talking about this right now.
Yeah, and he didn't do what he was supposed to do.
Now he's in New England, which is a better situation.
I bet he balls in New England.
I bet he does, too.
Yeah, I bet he does. And real quick correction, Baker had 6 sacks last season, which is still good for a defensive end in a 3-4, which is really good. All right, so Redskins are playing the Falcons on Thursday, the Atlanta Falcons on Thursday. What do you expect? What do you want to see in that preseason game?
I won't be seeing anything because I don't care about the first preseason game, man. Well, look, starters play what? A series?
Yeah, but maybe, don't you want to see the young guys? The young guys, man.
I don't care.
My man, I don't care, Ice, my brother. Right. I don't care.
I don't. Listen, I was having a conversation with a friend of the show, Jew, yesterday. He was excited.
I bet you were.
The first preseason game, you know, he was making plays. He's like, I don't know if I'm going to go out. I don't know if I'm going to stay in. You know, it's a spot we usually go to. He didn't know if he was going to go there or not. And he was like, man, you excited the first week of preseason? I was like, I don't care. I don't really care. It doesn't bother. It doesn't matter to me. The starters are going to play one series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before, you know, you can even put the game on. Go to the refrigerator, get a beer, then you drink it, then use the bathroom. The starters would be off the field. It doesn't matter to me. So I'm not, like I said, I told him yesterday, I don't care until the third preseason game.
Then I begin to care. They play like the first half.
Yeah, then I'll begin to care. Then I'll like, okay, I'll sit down and I'll watch football. But until then, no, I'll watch the Olympics.
Well, I am a little different from
read. I'll do something else.
Okay, one, I'm not reading. I know reading is fundamental, but I'm not reading. Okay.
Okay.
All right. One, I'm watching the game. All right. I'm in it to win it. I'm gonna watch the young boys ball. All right. I want to see Trent Murphy. I want to see Rashad Ross. I want to see Ryan Grant, the best Redskin route runner on the team. I want to see him do what he got.
Let me ask you this question: those guys aren't going to play against.
Oh, Ryan Grant's going to play.
Do you honestly think Ryan Grant's going to play that first series?
No, not the first series. He's going to play a lot of games, but
but he'll play against guys that may not be in the league, so you can't really gauge his level.
I don't need for him, of where he potentially is. For him, yes, I can.
But this is the thing. Ryan Grant has had a couple of good-looking preseasons, if I'm not mistaken.
He's had catches.
He's had moments.
His first preseason, his first year in the preseason was good. His first year. I won't take that back.
Yeah, so, okay. It's fair to say he had moments, right?
Yes.
What have those moments added up to in a regular season?
Garbage.
Nothing.
You're right. It's garbage.
That's what this game will tell you. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I will say this, though, because I've seen this and I believe it, and it's always hold true to me. It's held true to me is that if you see a defense flying around, I don't care if it's even the third team, fourth team, it starts with the first team, obviously, and it just wraps up to the third or fourth team. That's a good sign for a good defense. I'm a believer in that. If you go all out, it's a good sign. If tackling is crisp.
So let me ask you this.
That means that you're going to have a good defense.
You're going to watch all four quarters.
You darn right. I'm watching all four quarters.
And you're going to be one of those guys that's going to be excited Friday morning.
No, right? No, I'm not that dude. Because I was around when Steve Spurrier was a coach. So you'll never fool me. You can't fool me. Because that was the one time I was fooled, and I will never be fooled again.
So you honestly think after watching this one preseason game, possibly one series,
mm-hmm.
that you have a better feel for this team?
For certain players. I feel like I think you're looking at it as a team. I'm looking at individuals. Like, I want to spot out individuals, and I want to say this kid got better. Like, I want to see Preston Smith. I want to see if Preston Smith looks dominant against sorry competition, because at the same time, every tackle in the NFL isn't good. I know. All right. So I want to see him manhandle a sorry tackle.
So you want to see those, how do people say it? Those training camp heroes. That's what you want to
see. Yes. I want to see that. The UPS workers and all.
Come on, man.
I ain't knocking you. UPS is a great job, man. It could be an NIH worker. Okay, look, it could be an. I'm not knocking
Let's
anybody.
Just say guys who may not have a long term future.
Guys who weren't football players for real. How about them apples? That sound better.
I mean, they're football players. They made it to that level, man. You can't take away from their level of hard work.
You're right.
They put into to get to that level.
I'm being way too negative.
You are.
guys who couldn't cut it. Does that sound better?
I mean, that still sounds relatively harsh, but however you feel you need to articulate the situation, my brother, that's fine with me.
Anyway, oh my God, this is hilarious. All right, right now USA leads the world's medal count, I believe, don't they?
The Olympic medal count.
Sorry, the Olympic medal count. Excuse me. We'll talk about the Olympics after the break. It's the Urban Sports Saint.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter, hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times, without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it was split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
I won't just survive. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype. I won't just conform. No matter how you shake my core, 'cause my roots, they run deep. Oh, oh, yeah, so little faith. Jump down it, jump down it. Victory is in my veins. I know it, I know it. And I will not negotiate. I'll fight it, I'll fight it. I will transform.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, my man Will T and myself Wally. We are on Twitter. Just tweet us at Urban Sports.
You are on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. We're a team, dog. We're a team, dude. Don't like
gonna just know that it's Wally that
I'm tweeting. Look. I tweet. Ray Jeezy tweets at times, but I do most of the tweeting. But we're still the team.
Yeah, so we're I'm going to say I appreciate you lying to the people, but I'm just pulling back the veil, letting everyone know primarily you.
All right. Anyway, our handle is at Urban Sports Scene. Between after sports, there is no S. So letting you know, other than, you know, so it's not two S's. It's just one S. So it's Urban Sports Scene. You can listen to us at the Sports Crit Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. All right. Olympic talk. Right now, USA is leading the medal counts in the Olympics. Are you into Olympics?
I am.
Okay.
I'm the person that sat for 3 hours. I'm not going to say the whole 3 hours, but the majority of it, and watched the opening ceremony.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I was trying to, and then, you know, they had like too many theatrics for me. I was like watching Cirque du Soleil something like that.
It's part of the theater. It's part of the entertainment, like, man.
Get to it, bro.
You know, it's part of the theater. It's part of it, man. So I do enjoy that. Yes, I'm one of those people that I do follow the Olympics. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say I follow every event. But one event, we were talking about it earlier, yeah, that I actually watched for the first time this past weekend that I was riveted by. I couldn't take my eyes off the television. Table tennis.
Yeah. Table tennis is interesting, man. It's
awesome. Very interesting.
Yeah, man. I mean, the skill, and, you know, I used to play table tennis. I used to be one of the baddest table tennis players in all the land in college.
I went
to historic Black college.
That's telling you why you were up there.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was up there.
Okay.
And, you know, I had a long line of people losing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought, you know, at that point in time, I thought to myself, because that's when I knew my basketball career was over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way of playing football. It's too late in the game.
Right.
And I was, or baseball. And I thought to myself, sitting there, I was like, you know what? This table tennis thing can really rock. You know what I mean? Like, I'm charismatic. I'm good with the paddle.
So you thought you could be the guy that was the crossover star for table tennis?
I really did. And you know what else I thought?
I thought you could attract the masses to table tennis.
I thought I could have Nike deals. I really did.
Mm.
And even to a point that I talked me at my brother, we were like, I was like, I want to make, because of Mayweather and the 24 series, right? because I wanted to go back into training. This is not a joke. This is dead serious.
Okay.
I'm dead serious. I wanted to go back in training and do a 24/7, me getting ready to be a table tennis star.
So how would that have worked?
Well, like you would have, me and my brother would have been together and we would have been, like I would have had the camera set up and we've been like just following the process of just getting back to being that tennis stud. Like just having that part back in my life, knowing that, okay, this dude right now, like just saying like for people to see, like this dude right now is grinding hard to make it to Team Nigeria table tennis. I wasn't going to say USA because I still have Nigerian blood. Iguodala, screw you. You know what I'm talking about. So you know what I mean?
So
it would have been on and popping.
I mean, I just feel like this just revealed another layer of you and how you think. But
it would have been great, man.
Hey, listen, man. To each his own. I'm not here. I'm not a dream killer.
It's okay. You know what I mean? But I was telling you, it would have been, and I was going to put it on YouTube. That's how I was going. And then I was going to.
I mean,
ask
you still can. You still, no, what's stopping you? 20.
Oh, no, it's not done.
2020.
Look, real talk.
Kanye runs for president, and you make the Nigerian Olympic team for table tennis.
Dude, this is not done. Like, this is going to happen. My brother now has a ping pong table. Table tennis, ping pong, whatever you want to call it. He has the table. So I'm just letting you know that it's going down. Like, eventually, like, the video of, I call it Wally's Tour, it's going down.
Okay.
Like, it's going down. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And me having the gold, I mean, I'm not going to
AMI. I support you. I support you, man. Whatever you do. You
I'm going for the bronze.
Friend. You're my friend. I support you. Whatever you do,
I'm
man.
Going for the bronze. And I'm going to sell that bad boy and make some money off it.
You'll fit in well with Team Nigeria. That's all I can say.
It sounds right. But yeah, what other Olympic, other than table tennis, what other events of culture out? Has it been basketball?
Of course, basketball. You know, I've watched men's and women's basketball.
I haven't really caught the women's game. I feel bad. Sorry, CC, if you're listening from gladiators.com. I can't get into it at the moment. They dominate easily.
Yeah, they dominate. When track and field starts, I love watching, you know, the 200, the 100, the 400, 800. Everyone wants to see Usain Bolt. He's like, you know, the big, you know, I think outside of, because I was having this discussion earlier.
Yeah.
I wanted to rank them. How would you rank them if you had to rank the biggest attractions out of Team USA men's basketball? Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt.
How you rank it? I think you got to put Katie Ledecky in it because she's now big.
And Katie Ledecky.
To be totally honest with you,
yeah.
Bolt.
That's what I will.
Bolt, Ledecky, Phelps, and Ledecky and Phelps go like hand in hand. They're very close. And then I would say USA basketball.
So. I guess it's because it has to deal with personal preference of the sports.
I'm saying without my preference. This is not my preference.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, no, I would go – oh, that's a hell of a catch by Ben Revere. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I would go Bolt, Team USA, Phelps, Ledecky. That's just me.
No, I mean that's your preference, right?
Yeah, that's
so much your personal preference.
Yeah, that's my personal.
Okay, if I'm going my personal preference, which I was doing it the overall consent. Which
I kind of screwed up my answer to the question.
Yeah.
Because I did ask you, you know, like on a general basis, you know, viewers, who do you think viewers want to? That's what I meant to say.
I think those stories are more appealing right now to the masses. I feel like Team USA, everybody feels like they're going to win a gold medal, right?
Right.
Basketball, I'm talking about basketball. It's not a given, you know, when you're doing swimming, gymnastics and things of that sort, even to be honest with you, gymnastics may be over basketball.
I think because there's a lack, well, you have Durant, you have Melo, right?
Yeah.
But you don't have who people would say are the number one or two players in the world with LeBron or Steph Curry. You don't have either one of them playing. So I think that kind of takes some of the luster off of some people. But to me, it kind of intrigues me a little bit more because, you know, you say you don't, all right, but, you know, ever since 1992, the USA is trying to send their best pro athletes.
Yeah.
Kind of their best, how can I put it? hired guns to the Olympics because we care so much about medals, about the gold medal in basketball. We want to prove to everyone and validate that we're still number one when it comes to basketball. So, you know, you don't send, you know, two of the best players and you send a relatively, I'm not going to say no name team, but got a team that kind of lacks the star power. It puts a little bit of intrigue, into it, for me at least. Even though we all know what the final verdict is going to be, USA is going to win every game probably by at least 25 points.
If you want to go into basketball, I think there is some intrigue about this Olympic team. Kevin Durant's playing with a bunch of his new teammates right now. and you want to see how Kevin Durant's going to perform in the Olympics. And to be honest with you, you want to see if his demeanor is going to change within the Olympics. Kevin Durant's having an awesome, Olympics. He's the leading scorer right now in the Olympics. The guy is dropping buckets. He looks focused. He's a leader on that team. So to me, Kevin Durant has taken a challenge. I think that's been really cool about the Olympics, seeing Kevin Durant say, you know what, within this team, I'm the face. Knowing that you have Carmelo Anthony on the same team, and I'm not going to speak for the other guys, because the other guys aren't at the level of Kevin Durant in terms of, you know, ever being deemed the best player in the league. But, you know, Melo was that guy, and, you know, looking at Melo, who's going to probably finish off being the all-time leading scorer within USA basketball, then matching that up with what Kevin Durant's doing in this Olympics. I mean, those are good storylines, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But again, this team is dominant. It's going to dominate the Olympics, in my opinion. And not because this team is ultra talented compared to like other teams, other USA teams or other USA teams. It's just that, to me, within the world, some of the players that gave the United States problems are kind of getting older in age and are not the same players that they were back in the day.
Okay. We're still going to talk about the Olympics.
Yeah, definitely.
But I want to shift it to another sport and another not really another sport, but a topic. Mm. Did you see the synchronized diving? Did you see it yesterday?
No, I didn't see it.
Okay. If you do, get a chance to Google it and look at the water. That water looks like... No, it's just really green. Really greenish. It looks like... I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it looked kind of like... In Chicago, for St. Patrick's Day, they sometimes dye the water green.
Yeah.
The water looked green like that. Not blue, but green. It looked like it didn't have enough chlorine in it, which looks kind of dangerous. It looked like one of those, like, when you see that water, you're kind of like, I'm not getting in that.
Oh, really?
S-H-I. Are you beep, serious? Beep. Yeah. To me, it looked kind of like that. Yeah, maybe it might have been my television.
I'm gonna look at it. It wasn't done in like, it's an outside thing or something.
No, it's indoor.
That's just trifling.
It just didn't look like. It didn't look like water that I would feel comfortable diving in.
I was giving it the benefit of the doubt. Hopefully, it was outside. Maybe the rain got to it.
Nah.
That's not a good look. Okay, real quick before we go into break, I would be a terrible, a terrible sports individual if I didn't mention Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky in terms of detail. Right now, who would you say is the bigger draw between the two in terms of being swimming stars? Who is the bigger draw in the Olympics?
I think Ledecky has the shine right now.
Yeah.
Michael Phelps is only adding to his medal count. He's going down as probably the greatest
Olympian
in American history. Some people don't really care for his personality. That happens.
People
you know,
make mistakes. So yeah.
But I would say right now, today at August 9th, 2016, at 8:34 p.m. is Katie Ledecky.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They both played it. They both are in the finals tonight, in their own perspective matchups. For me, I'm gonna go with Katie Ledecky because she broke her own record within the women's 200 meter freestyle. So she's at this point in time, to me, she's Showtime. All right, she's Showtime. Yeah, and it's cool that she's from DC, so it makes it even cooler. But she's Showtime, and she did it in a single event. You know, I kind of feel a certain way that Michael Phelps is getting. I mean, even though it's his 19th gold medal, right? But he got in the relay, and granted, he did his part. But that was a team That's a team accomplishment. You know what I mean?
I mean, you can't take away from
a person. I'm not taking away from it, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm giving you, like, when we're comparing these two individuals, right? She won the individual competition. And granted, again, Michael Phelps can dominate tonight, right? And it's a whole different beast. I'm not gonna take that away from him, but again, Katie Ledecky, she did the darn thing in a singles event in the Olympics.
I mean, we do live in an individualistic society, so you know, whenever a person I'm just saying we live in an individualistic society that, you know, we care more about the individual opposed to the team. So, you know, I could see why someone would be far more impressed of a person who accomplished something individually opposed to doing it as part of a team.
Yeah, and Michael Phelps he'll be in the finals in the men's 200 meter butterfly event. So Michael Phelps will get his opportunity.
And again, when is that?
That's at 9:30, basically. It's tonight? Like 9:20. It's tonight.
Yeah, I won't be watching that.
And
I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, and Katie Ledecky is going to be in a 200 meter freestyle final. So she has an opportunity to showcase.
Not going to be watching that either. I'm going to be watching the Nats game.
The Nats game? See what the Olympics. See, obviously the Olympics don't have that type of hold on you.
It does have a hold on me. But I think.
USA.
USA is important, but I think what we're seeing here in D.C. with the Nats is something special, and it is underappreciated.
Speaking of the Nats, like Will said, the Nats are first place. Last year at this time, they weren't doing so well. I believe they were 58-57. Dusty Baker comes in and changes the game up. Should Dusty Baker be manager of the year for the National League? We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
In Russian, it means passion. I play all out every game. I give it everything I have. I broke my nose, got stitches, score 4 goals. I do it for you. I do it for Russia. That is Strasbourg.
It's my song, man. French Montana. I can't stand you, though. You had to not late before I said that's what I'm not a fan of at all. I despise French Montana. Anyway, listen to Urban Sports Team, my man Will T, myself, Wally. Ray Jeezy is out, but he'll be back probably next week. But again, we're blessed if you all listen to us. We appreciate you all. Also, like our Urban Sports Team Facebook page. Just search the Urban Sports Team. We trying to get to 600 likes, all right? Make it happen, Captain. All right? Be a fan of people. Support the grind. It's the Urban Sports Team movement. You dig? All right. I mentioned before the break, the Nationals right now, their record is 66-45. They're first place in the NL East. Last season, at this same time, they were 58-57. Should Dusty Baker be National League Manager of the Year?
Consideration, yes. National League Manager of the Year. Strong likelihood. I mean, just because, you know, the strong year that the Chicago Cubs are having and, you know, what that franchise has gone through, people are going to automatically give it to Joe Maddon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Dusty Baker deserves to be in consideration. And if, you know, who knows what can happen if the Nats can catch the Cubs.
Games behind.
Yeah, like, no, I think it was 3.5 coming into.
Well, I mean, lost side. I believe like a lost side. That's what we call it, like a lost side. Four games
like
lost
four,
side.
3.5. Behind, if they're able to catch him, yeah, absolutely, they deserve to get. He deserves to get National League Manager of the Year, but I don't. It's a possibility. I hope it happens, but I doubt it does.
I think I'm actually on the side to say that I believe that Dusty Baker, if the Nationals finish probably a game behind the Cubs or even with the Cubs for the, you know, in terms of record towards the end, at the end of the season, I believe that Dusty Baker deserves to be manager of the year. Don't forget, man, again, this team was 58-57. They didn't make that many big changes, and they have been hit with the injury bug. Bryce Harper hasn't even played at a high level like he did last year. Could you imagine Dusty Baker had the Bryce Harper of last year? I mean, this team would be unstoppable, in my opinion. So when I look at Dusty Baker, I look at a guy who can manage personalities, manage players. Players relate to him. They do what he wants. They are inspired by him, and he motivates his players. Look at Steven Strasburg. To me, it's not a coincidence that Steven Strasburg is having a great year under Dusty Baker. I just feel like Dusty Baker believes in people, and then from that point on, his players produce. And he's always been one of the better managers. I felt that way when the Nationals made that hire and announced that Dusty Baker was the guy was going to be the guy to lead this team. And even though you heard a lot of the naysayers say, well, what has Dusty Baker really done? And, you know, he hasn't won a championship. He hasn't done this. He hasn't been great in the postseason. Well, he's won. He's won everywhere he's been in. And this national team just wants to be in a position to do special things. Dusty Baker took the San Francisco Giants to the World Series. He's done great things in this league. So to me, compared to, you know, the Cubs and Joe Madden, I'll put it this way. People want to put Joe Madden out there in the Cubs. The Cubs, weren't the Cubs a postseason team last year?
Yes, they were.
They went to the NL East championship game, right?
NL championship.
The NL, I'm sorry, NL championship game. I'm sorry.
They went to the NL
They were on the rise. This Nats team had a bad year last year.
You make a compelling and strong argument. Mm-hmm. You know, they get rid of Matt Williams, mm-hmm. old boy. They bring in Daniel Murphy.
Daniel Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Trey Turner. They call him up, you know.
And play him.
They play him. You know, they bring in Ben Revere. And, you know, look at the results.
Yeah.
So you make a strong argument. So it's definitely a possibility.
So on our Facebook page, you know, I posted a question about Dusty Baker. Should Dusty Baker be NL Manager of the Year? My man Thomas Johnson said, no question, he will get major consideration, but I think we will have to secure the NL best record for him to win it. Agree. I do think they have to finish with the best record or a game behind, and then I feel like you could sway it to Dusty Baker. Susan. Said it's a given. He had it locked up at All-Star. I mean, at the All-Star break. I don't think Dusty's a given. But I think Dusty definitely should be hand in hand in line with a Joe Madden. My man Rick Cat said him or Chubby Skipper. I obviously it's between those two. But if it goes down to say Dusty Baker and Joe Madden, it's definitely gonna be to a point where Dusty Baker and the Washington Nationals have to finish, I believe, a game or better than the Chicago Cubs. That's just my opinion. It could be different. I mean, again, the Cubs could, you know, maybe you'll have the voters think like me. I just feel like the turnaround for the Nationals was a little bit more extreme than what the Cubs did. The Cubs already, everybody knew the Cubs were up and coming. They had so many young players. And again, they're working off what? They were already in the NL championship game. It's time to graduate, right? So they can graduate to the World Series, and they're that team right now. Looking into our Urban Sports Scene page about the Cubs and whatnot. My man about the same question on Urban Sports Scene page on Facebook. He said, Mike Pierman said yes, but we know who's winning. He's referring to the Cubs. He thinks Joe Madden will get the manager of the year for the National League. My man George, what's up, George? Said he has the Cubs, but he said, but I can't believe I'm saying this, but Don Mattingly deserves some consideration as well. Don Mattingly coaches the Florida Marlins. I mean, manages the Florida Marlins. He's doing a good job with the Marlins. The Marlins are second place in the NL East, but I'm not sure he's going to get any true consideration. Again, you have Joe Madden and Dusty Baker. Doing a great job with their prospective ball clubs.
Yeah, he deserves consideration, but right now this team most likely may end up what, seven? Maybe, you know, they're six. They're
the
six,
Marlins about yeah, seven games out right
seven,
now.
They're six games now behind the Nats. I think six or seven games now behind the Nats. I think you need to close that gap a little
I mean, you got to make the postseason.
Yeah, you got to make the postseason.
You got to make the postseason. That's just, you just got to make the postseason. And if you don't do it, then it ain't going to work out. But again, looks
I
like
I mean they have the best bat and potentially one of the best pitchers in the NL East.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So
they got Giancarlo Stanton who hits home runs for days. They got I'm gonna say Hernandez.
Yep.
They got Hernandez. So I mean they're a very talented squad. I mean I don't take that away from the Marlins at all. The Marlins have so much talent. But again, what the Nationals are doing, what Dusty Baker's doing, again with the talent they had last season, and I want to put this out there, like Bryce Harper isn't having the season he had last year, so they're doing it like a team.
Yeah, but you also have Daniel Murphy and Wilson Ramos stepping up to the plate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like it's a team, like they're getting more help. So I'm giving credit to Dusty Baker for some of that, not Daniel Murphy. I think Daniel Murphy had confidence because of what he did last year. So. You know what I mean? So it is what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go up to 95 and talk about your Baltimore Orioles. Right now, Dylan Bundy is 3-2 as a starter, is 5-3 with an ERA of 3.05. Is Dylan Bundy right now the most reliable pitcher for the Baltimore Orioles?
I feel that at this point in time he is, and you mentioned it. Right now he's 3-2 as a starter. Overall record is 5-3. And his ERA is about, like you said, 3.05. He's a guy right now he's in the groove. He's pitched well last couple games. He's won his last two starts. He's spotted the ball. He's throwing like 96, 97. Been clocked at 98. His curveball is working. He's learning how to strike people out more nowadays. I just feel like right now, compared to like Chris Tillman, Gausman, who pitched well last night, the Orioles lost last night 2-3 to the Oakland A's in Oakland. That when Dylan Bundy right now is that anytime he takes the mound, you're confident and he has the stuff to shut down offenses. I mean, my God, you had a game where I can't remember who he played against, but he had a no hitter to like, the fifth inning, and he had a one hitter to like the fourth, fifth inning. He's a guy that consistently looks like he dominates the opposing batter. So when I look at Dylan Bundy, I look at a guy that right now, if we're talking about now, not a guy who, what's going to happen in a couple of weeks, but right now, or what's happening like 2-3 weeks from now, but prior, we're looking at a guy who at this point in time is the Orioles ace. And it's amazing where he's, when he started, a lot of people didn't think he was ready the way he started out the bullpen, because he was forced to be on the roster, because he was out of options. Now, he's here, he's on the team, and he's probably the best pitcher at the moment. So, kudos to Dylan Bundy. I posted a question on our Facebook page, is Dylan Bundy the most reliable starter for the Baltimore Orioles? My man Jeremy said Tillman, but Bundy is close. Bundy was the top pitching prospect in the world 3 years ago. Then TJ, by far the most talented and balls on, most talent and balls on the staff. Damn, Commish, you're just so explicit, Had the most balls, like the biggest balls on the staff, man. The man's crazy, man. Pause. I don't like saying balls like that. Pause. Had to say pause, man. Pause on that. And he said pray for that kid every day. He's a bulldog. I agree. Dylan Bundy is a bulldog. Dylan Bundy is the type of pitcher that, will come at you relentlessly. Pause again. That ain't sound right. Come at you relentlessly. That don't sound right. This is not like a lot of stuff ain't sounding right now, Wilty. You gotta kind of maintain and be proper when I say things. But also on our Facebook page, my man John said, about Dylan Bundy, said he has the best pitch and is not afraid to use it. Whereas for most of baseball, it's a forgotten art. He's referring to the fastball. And that's the fastball, like I said, at the batter's front shoulder to put them on their ass. Makes his other pitches more effective. I agree. He goes inside. He's not scared to go. He's not scared to hit you. He's not scared to, for a batter to go approach him at the mound. He's the type of guy like Nolan Ryan, Roger Clemens. He's just not scared. My man Brent said yes. My boy Carl said by far Dylan Bundy's the best, the most reliable pitcher on this staff. Cam. My man Cam said, yep, he's filthy. Occasional mistake here and there. But kid is unfazed by adversity. Totally agree. I appreciate you all with your comments. We do. I'm in agreement with all of y'all. I feel like Dylan Bundy is the best pitcher on this team right now. Tillman, according to my man Jeremy, he has Tillman right now. I can see how you would think Tillman, but Tilly has to be a little more consistent for me. That's a little bit. He has to be more consistent. If he can be consistent, I feel like Tilly can definitely be just as good as Bundy because Tilly has the stuff to do it. Real quick, before we go into break, I want to mention A-Rod and Ichiro. A-Rod over the weekend announced that he's going to play his last game for the New York Yankees on Friday. Ichiro over the weekend received his 3,000 hit. And, now he's in the 3,000 club. So, first off, let's go with A-Rod. Your thoughts on A-Rod's career?
What could have been? He probably, even though he has the numbers, he probably won't get into the Hall of Fame because Hall of Fame voters refuse to vote in guys who have been suspended or are strong or have, there's a high likelihood that have taken PEDs. So, it's not the way that A-Rod probably expect. I know it's not the way he wanted to go out, but, $27 million will help somewhat subside that anger or frustration of going out this way.
Here we are. He got forced out. It's all good, though. He got forced out, but again, I think we all need to, remember that A-Rod's still one of the best who ever did it. I don't care about PEDs. PEDs overrated to me. I'll say that again. Many players cheated, and some of them haven't been caught. And to put the numbers that he put out there, 6-4 home runs shy of 700. The man in his prime was a perennial 300 and plus hitter. The guy drove in over 100 plus runs. Every team, he was an impact player. So for me, I'm going to always be a fan of A-Rod because I just felt like A-Rod was one of the best baseball players I've ever seen, period. And I think he should be remembered by that. I'm against the whole notion that because folks have taken PEDs, they don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. Mark McGwire should be in the Hall of Fame. And A-Rod should be in the Hall of Fame. So I'm not a fan of that talk. And you won't hear me, be like, oh, A-Rod's a cheater. Oh, there are many cheaters in baseball in different elements of cheating. So I don't want to hear it. Baseball was based on cheating to a certain extent. So A-Rod, congrats. I hope you do sign on to another team and maybe get an opportunity to get to 700. Ichiro, thoughts of Ichiro real quick.
No thoughts at all.
No thoughts of Ichiro?
No.
Okay, I feel you. I'm a fan of Ichiro, so I'll make a comment. Ichiro, 3,000 hits, one of the best ballers I've ever seen, period, man.
I'll say this. Even though he has 3,000 hits, he didn't get all of his 3,000 hits in MLB. So I don't
know. He did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, all his 3,000 hits in MLB. It's the ones they're trying to put over Pete Rose. That's the one. He got all his 3,000 hits in MLB. Yeah, he was the youngest. He's the quickest to hit the 3,000, knowing he got to base playing.
Whoopsie daisy on me then.
It's okay. He got to 3,000 at the age of 20. Well, he started playing baseball in the majors at 25. Usually players start much younger to get to 3,000. So Ichiro to me has always been, he's always been a guy who can always hit close to 200, give you 200 hits a season. He's just he's an amazing talent. Just as impactful as an A-Rod, a Barry Bonds in his own little way. Cause he was, to me, one of the best hitters I've ever seen. So big ups to Ichiro.
Big ups to Ichiro.
Ichiro Suzuki. And he's the only guy that his first name was on the back of his jersey. Initially, Ichiro.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's a cultural thing.
I guess so. But anyway, these NBA players ain't loyal, but Russell Westbrook is. We'll discuss what Russell Westbrook signing a 3-year, $85 million deal to sign back with the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's the Urban Sports Saint.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I seen your girl post a bill, so I hit her in the deal. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashawn Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, it goes down in the DM. What's good, folks? You listen to the Urban Sports Scene. My man Will T and myself, Wally. My man Ray Jeezy is out, but he'll be back next week, man. So we'll have a... Well, we might not have a three-man week. Will T will be out next week, right, Will T?
Yeah, I'll be out next week.
The people going to miss you, man. They're going to miss you, man.
You say so.
The female demographic of the show, they're going to miss you.
That dog. I know, but everyone else, it is what it is.
Hey, you fool. Anyway. Oh my God! I mentioned before I talked about Russell Westbrook. Before the break, Russell Westbrook signed a 3-year, $85 million extension with the Oklahoma City Thunder. We have the audio of his press conference talking about signing with the Thunder.
Thank you, thank you. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God. I mean, I'm a very, very blessed human being, and I never take that for granted for one. And, you know, I definitely thank him first. I thank all my family and friends. Obviously, my dad is here, my brother, my agent, my mom and my wife couldn't make it, but obviously a big thanks to the people as well. And thoroughly thank the organization, Mr. Bennett, Sam, thank you guys for obviously believing in me, believing in the things I'm able to do. And thank all the fans. The fans are unbelievable to me. They mean so much to me and what I believe in and who I am and the player I've become to this day. And I'm very thankful for that as well. Thank you for all the people that work inside the organization, in the front office, in the back office, the side office, wherever it is that you guys work. I appreciate everything you guys do. That goes unnoticed, and I appreciate all that. And obviously, me being able to come back here is a true blessing. There's nowhere else I would rather be than Oklahoma City. You know, you guys are... You guys have basically kind of raised me. I've been here since I was, you know, 18, 19 years old, and man, you guys did nothing but great things for me through the good and the bad. You guys supported me, you know, overall through it all, and I appreciate it. And definitely when I had the opportunity to be able to be loyal to you guys, that's the number one notion, and loyalty is something I stand by. So thank you guys, and I appreciate everything.
My man, Russell Westbrook, said loyalty means a lot to him. He thanked OKC for standing by.
Yeah, I mean...
Shots fired?
I think there's some subliminal shots fired. You know, I think that he kind of feels betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get the sense of that. You get the sense that not only were they work friends, but Russell Westbrook felt like that's genuinely friend, a brother, a strong kinship. And, you know... He felt that maybe just out of if you are as good as friends as you say you are and this affects him, why don't you just, you know, drop me a text or drop me a call before you let it out to the world, you know? So it'll just add to the big chip that's on Russell Westbrook's shoulder already. And I think for him, he's in a great basketball situation because to me, there are few basketball executives I could go to sleep not worrying about my future, knowing that they are intelligent enough and can surround me with the talent to help me take this team and take my game to the next level. And if you're Russell Westbrook, you sleep better at night knowing that Sam Presti, he does that. You know, mm-hmm. There aren't many executives in the NBA who you could just feel as if you can blindly put your trust into and feel like they will do what's best for your career and best for the franchise and the team.
I make a bold statement. I think that Russell Westbrook has his team that surrounds him has the capability of being a special team. Not to say they're going to be a championship team. I'm not going to go that far right now. But I do think they have the elements to be a team that can compete with anybody in basketball. You got Enes Kanter, who to me, who's an up and coming big. We saw what Steven Adams can do in the post now, in the postseason. We see that he can do some things in the post. Victor Oladipo is a talented dude.
That's going to be
that backcourt.
One of the better backcourts. It'll be better than the backcourt that we have here in DC.
Yeah. And can I say this much? Definitely the best defensive backcourt.
Yeah,
I couldn't go that far.
I agree with that too. Both of those guys play tenacious defense.
Yeah. So you look at it's all about, you know, a lot of times when people want to, you know, construct a championship team, we're looking at the big three, big four, whatever. But sometimes you just need the ultimate pieces. And I think that, you know, to work off Russell Westbrook's talent, they have the team to do it. And even Sabonis is sent off the bench. I mean, they're a talented roster.
Yeah,
it's a talented roster.
You got Sabonis, mm-hmm. and Anthony Morrow.
Yeah.
So this team has the potential to, you know, they have the pieces. Now it's just about them gelling, and you may have to add another piece or two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a firm believer that you'll never win a championship with Russell Westbrook as your starting point guard. No, I think, don't get me wrong, I think he's a phenomenal player, but when it comes to – unless he, you know, calms his mind and does and isn't, you know
– erratic.
And isn't so erratic and plays in the moment when it comes to making a big play for your team, making the right play for your team, I don't think that you'll win a championship with him, but you'll come damn close.
Yeah, I think you come very, very close. But anyway, it's about time to wrap this show up. Will, too, before we leave, any parting shots?
No, I just want to say thank you to everyone who either listened to us live or who took the time to listen to us on the podcast. We appreciate it. We're regular sports fans just like you, and God bless.
God bless you all. We appreciate you all. Thanks for the support. Thanks for the shout-outs. Thanks for the tweets. Thanks for the Facebook messages, man. We appreciate you all. It's the Urban Sports Saint for ages.
You dig?
Deuces. Mega, lead us out, big homie. Yeah.